Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerry Stevens, and today I'm bringing you Michael Davidson. He is the MD and CEO of Propel Holdings. The ASX code is PHL. They're fintech. They're in the small to medium enterprise business space, and it's a fascinating story that hasn't been told very much. So I'm excited to welcome Michael to Small Caps. Michael, thanks so much for joining me today. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
First up, this is the first time we've had a conversation. Can you let our wonderful audience know who are Propel Holdings?
Yeah, sure. Look, we're the only multi-product financial services platform targeted exclusively at addressing all the financial needs of Australian small businesses. And we do it in one simple app. Now, just a bit of background. These small businesses, of which there's more than 1.25 million, face really similar problems. They struggle to manage their cash flow. Mm-hmm. They lack specific financial knowledge and they don't have a finance team to guide them. And they struggle to get access to products from banks who have historically viewed them as, you know, really high risk and hard to deal with, meaning they have to cobble together a range of personal solutions and finance products to solve their needs. So what Propel have done is we solve this by bringing all those solutions together in one place, giving our customers access to the products and services that are really critical to their effective operation. And that includes, we give them access to financing, so lending products, payments and payment acceptance, and insights. And in the very near future, we're actually going to give them their own small business account and card to really tie it all up. Now, importantly, we deliver all of this too through our own proprietary platform that we've built entirely in-house. And that allows us to be really fast with the product, but also first to market.
First to market. So it's interesting you say first to market. Who are your competitors? Is fintech a space? I kind of know. It's evolving very quickly. You mentioned it's an app.
Yep.
Isn't it a simple thing to replicate for others to do once they cotton onto what you're doing?
Yeah, you would think that, but actually what it requires, and it's something we talk about often, is that we've invested a lot of time and resource in building the platform that underpins the product that the customers see. And developing that is really technically quite difficult because you're having to identify a customer, bring them through a journey onto the platform, and then essentially originate them for and maintain and service them across a whole range of products with very, very little team members. And now that is really difficult, and it makes it actually difficult for people to follow. So you talk, you know, who are your competitors? Investors will often think, oh, is it the banks or is it individual fintechs? Now, in most cases, the banks, as I mentioned earlier, have seen this segment as really hard to service. So they haven't built products specifically for the small end of SME. And when they do deliver the product, they're usually delivering an individual product. The customer will have to sign up for a payment service and they'll have to sign up for a lending product. And each time they do something, it's quite time consuming and often requires a lot of paperwork. And our platform has zero paperwork.
Hey, now, we love that.
Yeah, it's probably the piece that we didn't realize was that important initially, but it has come through as being probably the most important piece that our customers are looking for speed and access. Actually, and they're much less interested in the price associated with it. So there's a lot of flexibility around the pricing side. And then you get to the paperwork piece. They're not required to find a business plan, build a business plan, and then find all of their business registration documents. They can just do that sign up entirely online in about 5 minutes. Now, the second piece is we have competitors that are fintechs that are direct, but they are generally delivering one product category. So a customer can go to one of those and get a lending product or a payment service. What we've found in our segment is that they're looking for this all in one spot. They want to sign up once and get access to everything they need and know that that's curated moving forward. They don't have to keep looking for how do I solve this problem or that, but we place it for them on the platform.
You only launched listed. You launched not that long ago either, but you listed on the ASX about 12 months ago.
Yes.
What I want to find out, Michael, where did you come up with this idea? I mean, where did you say, you know what, there's a problem here and we're going to come up with a solution? How did you come to that?
It's actually, it's a funny background for myself. And I grew up in a family that owned small businesses. So it's sort of firsthand, I saw my parents run a small business for 35 years. I actually initially started in telco. So I was in telco in Australia and the UK, and I worked almost exclusively on small business product there. So we were, when I finished in Optus in Australia, I was managing about 1,100 telco retailers for the small business product. So you got to see that there was really unique issues that are faced by that segment of the market, and they are different to what you see in mid to large enterprises. I then came into the fintech space with a payments fintech and was able to see that actually a lot of this applies to the finance space as well. And we just constantly got feedback saying, hey, we're actually looking for more than just one type of product. Can't you just do it all? Was kind of the common feedback we'd receive. That was where Propel was born. So we looked at it and said, okay, we can, the process that we use to acquire a customer and bring them onto the platform and maintain them, that can be automated and replicated, and we can do it across a whole lot of products and deliver something that's really personalized to that individual and do it at scale. And that was really the foundation of Propel.
When you say you're doing it at scale, you've done the hard work, you've got the app together, you and I spoke before about the fact that there's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes that nobody sees to make it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
Is it easy to now scale, now that I guess you've built that solid foundation? Can you now grow exponentially without too much of a problem?
Yeah, look, I've spoken in recent market updates about we've gone from 300-ish customers on platform at listing to 1,700 by the end of March, and on track to, if the current trajectory continues, we'll pass 3,000 this year. So a significant scale. And if you think in that same time, we've only added one additional headcount to the operations team, so essentially customer and underwriting. And it's a really significant undertaking. And it speaks to, we would need a team of 10 to be at these levels if we hadn't built so much automation in the back end of the platform. But the automation is important for us to scale, so we can get to large numbers without having a really large ops team. But actually, the reason we started down that path is it's the only way you can deliver a real-time personalized experience to each of those customers. If you have to have people involved in understanding their situation, you're not able to do it. And everything we look to do is instantaneous. So, you know, we have aspirations of getting down to customers onboarding in 1 minute with all of their biometric details. But we also have aspirations of getting to 100,000 customers on the platform. And again, we need to have a really significant and technically very capable platform sitting under it to be able to do that.
Let's just go back to when you listed and to today. So it's just over a year. What were the deliverables that you said, this is what we're going to deliver, and a time frame? And talk to us about where you're at with that, because it's not been easy, but you've got there.
Yeah. Look, it's, and we also, we listened into what ended up becoming a really difficult time in the back end of the second half of last year for our target customer. Those small businesses went through so much pain with COVID and in and out of lockdowns. And we've actually delivered a really significant amount. We committed to some very simple KPIs around product and customer. We're aiming to get to 3,000 customers in 2 years. So that will be April 2023. And we expect to do that in late 2022. On the product side, we had really clear commitments about continuing development of the platform, bringing product on. And this is actually in an update somewhat recently, where we've delivered basically our 2-year roadmap in 12 months. And then we have one final component, which is that account and card piece, it's probably the one I'm most excited about that's coming on shortly. That will be that final piece of essentially 2 years of roadmap in about a year and a half.
That's admirable. But talk to me, you did you're in the midst, I think, of a raising at the moment. Talk to me about some of the numbers. Are you bringing revenue in at the moment?
Yeah.
What's this recent raising? Where's that money going to be used? And what's the projections going forward?
So with a lending, with a business that has a lending product, there is the associated, it's fantastic.
Oh, hello.
The lights have turned me off.
This is called live, ladies and gentlemen.
This is public holiday in Brisbane. And the buildings turned the light off for
me. It's a public holiday, so they turned the lights off. Love it.
So from a numbers point of view, it's fantastic to grow the customers on the platform, and it's fantastic to grow lending, but associated that with you need our wholesale facility to support that growth. So we've just recently been able to increase the size of our facility with our wholesale lender and basically double it from 2.5 to 5 million at a lower rate. And we are pursuing, just to support the growth moving forward, we will need to get a larger facility again between 20 and 30 million. Additionally, the platform, whilst we have delivered so much with the platform, we do have developments coming forward. And I guess the important piece around this is the developments through the back end of 2021 were very much on that underlying platform. The investments now are just bringing product onto the platform. And what's great about that is that you were able to deliver it quite quickly with the way that we've done with Propel so far. But we're also landing those products into a warm market. And we launched a new lending product in late December last year. And we're huge take up straight away. Again, because you have a large group of warm customers that have an ongoing relationship with you already on platform. So
Sorry, Michael, what was the product that you launched?
Oh, we launched a longer dated, larger sized lending product. So we previously had lent up to 100,000. We now lend up to 250,000 to these small businesses.
Okay. All right. So, and has that been well received?
Really well received. Yeah.
So is that from an investor point of view, because that's my audience, they're investors. Yep. What I want to know is what's the value proposition? Where's the growth and why you think now might be a good time to get involved?
Yeah. So the growth for us continues to be, and there's probably two parts here. And we always look at it in two ways, customers that are connected to our platform and then the products that are on the platform. And you'll see in a second why it's important. The customers are absolutely the top of the funnel. We need as many on the platform as we can get so that they can get access to product and a percentage we utilize it. But the second piece, so we're continuing to grow on the customer side. We've historically done that entirely digitally. So we've done it through search marketing and social and whatnot. We've been able to drive down the cost associated with acquiring those customers really significantly over the past 12 months. Okay. But the second most important piece is you need to bring product on that solves their needs. So we solve a set of their needs now with our payments and lending products, but bringing on more, I mean, we have a lot of demand already for equipment finance for these small businesses buying, you know, items to operate their business. We have invoice finance, it's demand for that. So any development we can put into bringing more product to the platform, each one drives another revenue line. And in general, the lending products deliver the most margin. So we've got a pretty tight roadmap for lending products that we'll be landing. So it will moving forward with the growth we've seen on the lending side and in customers in general, revenues we're expecting to start ticking up pretty significantly.
But there's a lot of lending products out there, aren't there, Michael? I mean,
there is a lot,
and they seem to be more and more.
But getting back to that point again of it does seem that there are a lot and that they're simple, but they're actually not. So again, when you look at the experience that we're delivering, it's absolute simplicity. You know, someone can do this on their mobile phone sitting on their couch. They don't need to go and find ID. They don't need to do anything like that. They can do it in 5 minutes on their mobile phone or on a desktop. And that simplicity in our target market, you know, if you're talking in a mid-size enterprise that has a finance team or a finance director who can spend a day or two searching for lending products or payments products, that's fine. That is our target market. They are, again, it's one or two people. They're flat out running their business. They just need to solve a problem really quickly. But the second piece is, we don't just do lending. So we do that whole solution. And what they're seeing is, oh, right, you're gonna tell me even more about my credit score and about my business credit score and my personal credit score and help me understand why that's important. And then you're going to show me some insights into how the funds flow through my business. They stay with us, not just because we do a good lending product or a good payments product, it's because they're getting everything in one place and they don't need to search for it anymore. I mean, we talk often about the payments side. Payments back in the day, and actually not that long ago, maybe 2015, it was cash and card. And then the world was turned upside down. I mean, at that time, we were still discussing whether cash was going to go away. Now that's COVID solved for that. It's now cash and card somewhat, but then you've got 20 BNPLs that they have to cover depending on the industry. Now it was expanding rapidly until recently. But then they also have WeChat and Alipay and so on. So what we do is they sign up for one payment service. We give them access to a large range of those payment providers, but then we also give them access to a large number of ways in which they can take it. They can have a terminal in their business. They can take online. They can do an invoice payment. So
now I'm getting interested myself in my business. Oh, this is quite exciting.
So that's where we're essentially, with this product and this platform, removing a heap of work from their life.
Oh, love
and then
it.
giving them the products that they need to run that small business, and increasingly insights and advice around how things that they should look at to run it better.
But you're not, like, one of the success stories in the fintech space has been Xero. I mean, there's also MYOB and other you know, Quicken, etc. Is that part of what you do, or is that more sort of bookkeeping? That's a separate thing. So
yeah, no, that's
a small business owner. Do I need that as well as?
Yeah, absolutely. So okay. Products like Xero, Xero is fantastic, and we actually run Xero in our business. They do a great service, and they're absolutely the type of business we connect to, and had been connected in the past, and are in the process of reconnecting the data in where businesses will be able to integrate between Propel and Xero, and you can do things like auto reconciliations of payments that come through and so on. And Xero holds a place and serves a purpose, and it does a great job for handling that accounting.
Yep.
But they then bring onto their platform, as you've probably seen, payments providers and lending providers and whatnot that do the other part of that service for a small business.
So really what you're doing is you're taking the pain away from small business owners that are good at what they do, whether it's selling a widget or, you know, doing events or whatever it is that they do. They're good at that, but they're not good at that other, all those other pieces. And you're taking away a lot of that sort of paperwork and that time. You're giving
them. I mean, that is absolutely our goal. And that's what we look at you know, when we're developing new product. It's speak to the customers and find out what we can do to remove more of that. And you're absolutely spot on. It's all about the finance products and services. I mean, the piece of the platform that we've built in around insights, which we call Business Pulse, is what we use to assess the customers. We were basically taking all of those insights that we gained about a customer to use to assess them digitally and place it back in front of them. And where there have been other providers where have done, you know, PFMs, where they're personal finance managers, where they give someone an insight into the business, we're doing that for a small business with insights. But then we also place the product beneath it. So you say, right, you know, I'll get an understanding about my business. Oh, I can actually now also access lending and payments and everything underneath. So it removes a huge amount of work.
In terms of going forward, can you scale this? Because we've really talked about, you know, there's X number of million small business owners in Australia.
Yeah.
I've got to ask the question because I'm looking from an investment point of view. Can this go global and is it scalable? Can that be done quickly? And are you worried about somebody else doing exactly what you're doing?
Yeah, so a few questions there. Firstly, it is a high priority for the management team and the board that we're looking at how this goes globally. So this is not an if, we will, and we've talked about it openly in the past. And the reason we say it is, firstly, the problems that are faced by small businesses across most markets, and I'll say, you know, even just key Western markets, US, UK, and Europe, they're really similar to what small businesses face in Australia. You know, they struggle to manage cash flow, they struggle to access product. It's all those same issues, and they're time poor. They're looking for work to be taken away. So you look at those, and then you look at the size of those markets, and it's 55 million-ish across the key Western markets, 300 million globally. So they are significant, and that is just in that small business segment. So from that point of view, absolutely, it makes sense. But it's also the reason we've architected the platform in such a way that it can be picked up and dropped in other markets with very little localization and tech. So we're all of the providers that we work with, whether it, you know, if it's a third party provider around credit scoring or payments and whatnot, all of those have representation in the markets that we, you know, the immediate markets that we would look at. So it is absolutely on the is a priority for the strategy. But I guess up until now, we've been very focused on ensuring that we can show that this is really getting traction in Australia.
Well, one of the other things I was asking about is as you grow and scale, that sort of competition from other parts of the world. I mean, we talked about earlier that there's been a lot of work done behind the scenes, but There's a lot of clever people out there, Michael.
Yeah, no, there sure is. And there's not a day goes by that we don't watch it all very closely. So I absolutely expect that there will be other organisations that are trying to do this. I think what we have right now is that there are a number that are talking about it in early stage, unlisted. We're not talking about it. We've done it. It's in market. And it is a not insignificant task to build something that works like the way the Propel platform works. So, you know, whilst I won't go as far as to say we welcome all competitors, I would prefer that most of them would stay away. We have enough of a head start that we think we can run really hard and stay out in front of those.
So what do you think are going to be the value add, the clear value adds going forward? You know, the share price, I think, is today at about 5 cents. Where do you think the value adds for my beautiful audience out there? And then I'll go into, because we're running out of time, but we'll hold your thought. I'll go into three reasons why you think people should do it. But what do you think the value adds are right now?
The value adds to our business? Yeah, I think so. Absolutely, unequivocally, more product on platform will lead directly to more revenue. So we are really focused on ensuring that we're bringing on more products that solve more of their needs. And you essentially get, and it's the same to people, you're getting more share of that part of their wallet, that we're just addressing more of their needs. Okay. So that's absolutely a focus. The second piece is more growth, but not only from direct organic growth. So we're looking at inorganic opportunities. How do we get to larger, much larger groups? So how do we take it from 3,000 to 10,000 customers, 1,700 to 3,000 to 10,000 customers quickly? And there's a piece of work we initiated this quarter on working with other organizations that it's a one-to-many approach, that have got a lot of small businesses that serving, that we can essentially help them service their constituents. So I think that's going to be a really big value add in the near term. We start to see some of those partnerships come online.
All right. Well, we are running out of time, and I'm really pleased that you came on, because a lot of people watching are investors, but they're also probably small business owners. And so that potentially they'll look at this and go, well, Propel, let me go check them out for my business.
They definitely should.
If you save time, you can do more of what you're meant to be doing, which is what you're good at, which is what your business is doing, not all this back end stuff. So finishing up, Michael, three reasons. This is my final hurrah, if you like, but yep. Three reasons why you think our investors should be sitting up and taking notice of Propel Holdings, ASX code PHL, right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say number one, we've done the hard work and the investment in the platform. We're ready to scale. And as we've discussed, that scale leads to product growth and revenue, which leads to profit. So we're at that point where we're at the start of a really heady ramp. The second piece would be, this is a unique product, and we're showing that it's solving the needs of these customers, and we're getting traction and market share.
Okay.
Probably finally is that, you know, this is only our first year of operation, as you mentioned, and we've met all the targets and we're ahead of it. So we have track record now. And there's only a million customers in this segment in Australia, and it's a global opportunity. So it's absolutely something that there's very significant upside.
He's going to be very busy in the months ahead. Michael, we'll have to get you back on at the start of the financial year and see how some of those numbers are. But for now, thanks so much for joining me on Small Caps today. Propel Holdings, ladies and gentlemen, ASX code PHL, taking the fintech space by storm and growing globally in the near future. Great to see you, Michael. Thanks so much for joining me.